Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
I'd like you to take out your Bibles and find the book of James, chapter 2. And as you do that, you can take out your sermon notes as well. And for those of you online with us, you can get your sermon notes there on our webpage as well. As we come to this morning's sermon, it occurs to me that life is better when it feels good. Wouldn't you agree? It just is, isn't it? When relationships are working for you, when the money's coming in on time, when the bills are paid, when health is good, when kids are behaving, whether they're little kids or adult kids, it's good, isn't it? We like those times, but we're all grown up enough to understand that that's not how things are all the time, are they? We like it when life feels good. However, there are times when that just doesn't happen. It happens to all of us. It just isn't there all the time. Life feels good until it doesn't. So what do we do about that? What do we do about those times when things just don't feel so good? God does something at those periods of time. You could call it divine invitation. God says that when life is not going so well, when it doesn't feel so good, when you're not all giddy all the time, he said, I allow those times as an invitation for you to engage your faith. It's not hard to say I have faith when life feels good, when everything is going well. But it's a whole different story to say, God, I want to live in faith even today when life doesn't feel good, when life isn't going well. And so those times are, if you will, God-ordained periods for us to grow in faith. He understands that those are the times when we're going to get to exercise our faith in ways that we would not get to do otherwise. And so God doesn't remember, as if you remember 2 weeks ago, and if you do, I'm proud of you, but God does not always respond to our needs, does he? That's not the metric that he uses. He doesn't respond to our wants. What does he respond to? He responds to our faith. That might sound familiar to you. It's not our needs, not our wants, but it's always going to be our faith. Why? Because he cares for you, he loves you, and he cares about your needs, he cares about your wants, and he said, I will deal with them. But most he cares about your faith. It is that faith that moves God to action, even when life doesn't feel so good. He cares about those things. He cares about your wants. But it's your faith that opens his hand to you. And we want a God who has his hand open to us. And God says, I want to open my hand to you. And for that reason, you can only go as far in life as your faith is strong enough to take you. And I just preached the last sermon 2 weeks ago to you. So why didn't you do it that fast that time? But that was the essence of our first sermon in this series that I'm doing. You remember that we're calling this More Power to You. And we talked about the fact that last time that we are dealing with how to experience God's power through faith-filled living. And as we do that, we see that that God says that he is looking for an attitude of expectancy in our lives, that we are coming before him, expecting him to do what only he can do. That's the essence of a faith-filled life. It is a life of expectation. God says, I want you to expect that I'm going to do something. And so it's not the fact that faith is a feeling that I have. It is a choice that I am making. But that's not all it is. There's so much more to faith than just working up a positive mental attitude. I remember years ago when I was exploring this whole idea of what it means to live in faith. And as a young Christian, I had the idea that faith would be a very strong feeling in my heart. Maybe you have that idea too. That if I am a person of faith, a man or woman of faith, that I'm going to have this feeling down deep in my heart. Really, it's going to be more of a gut feeling. That there's not this feeling, that this overwhelming feeling that I must be living in faith because I just have these feelings that I don't otherwise have. And so I thought they would manifest themselves in a sense of certainty, devoid of any kind of doubt in my life, that for sure God will do what it is that I want him to do or I need him to do. My mother asked me a question last week. She said, do you believe in miracles? I told her, yes, I do. Because she very much would like a miracle in her life with her eyes. And I can't blame her for that. But just saying I believe, or thinking, yes, I believe in my heart, or this gut feeling that God can do whatever he wants to do, is that all faith is? And really, I had to come to a decision that even though I want that feeling to prove that I'm a person of great faith, that's not what the Bible talks about. That's not what the Bible says. Because I can pray for a specific miracle at times, and I would know, I thought, what God was going to do, and I could feel, and I would feel that God was about to do a great thing. But here's the problem with that. Faith is not a feeling. It never has been, and it never will be. And so God is not waiting for us to work up feelings. And if that's all we can do, then we're missing the boat. Because that kind of faith just resides in our gut. But that's not what God wants to do. And so if you feel right, you've got faith, and you don't feel right, you don't have faith. That's what the world believes. And that's what the majority of Christianity believes. That if I just have these right feelings, then I'm going to be okay. And I would pray, and I would try to work up those feelings, and sometimes I was able to do it, and sometimes I wasn't. And when my prayers weren't answered in the right way, I would think that I must not have felt it enough in order for God to do something miraculous. That's going about it all the wrong way. And maybe you are today. And you're thinking all this faith stuff is good for somebody else. But I just don't know if I can get the right feelings. And when I have some feelings, I don't understand that I think God should do something and it doesn't happen. So maybe I'm just a broken Christian. And I want you to understand this faith truth today. This faith truth. It is this, that faith is not something you feel. It is not. Faith is not something you decide. It is something you decide. It is something that you do. It is not a feeling. It is a decision, and it is something that you then do. Faith is a choice that you make to think a certain way and to act a certain way. Notice I didn't say anything about feelings or emotions. It is a decision. That's why last time we talked about how faith begins, it begins with that attitude of expectancy. And today we're going to talk about how you express your faith by what you do. So James, the brother of Jesus, wrote in James 2:17, and you say, well, I remember that because I just memorized it. It was on the screen a moment ago. James 2:17 says faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. And then a few verses later, James said this in verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And so we have the key verse today. Fact is, that's the only verse that we're going to have. You might look at your sermon notes and say, well, how come there's not about a zillion other verses listed? There are no verses listed under any of the 3 points. I'm going to expect you remember those verses. If you forget, go back to the top of the page and remind yourself of what they are. Because you have one key verse, and then you have a verse that puts it into context. And that's all we really need today. We need to know what these two verses are telling us. I love what he says that bodily, in verse 26, that the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. That word deeds sometimes is the word works. So it depends on the version of the Bible you're reading, how they chose to give us that word in English. But it means corresponding actions. Corresponding actions. I didn't give you this verse from the Message Bible, but Eugene Peterson, when he transliterated and paraphrased God's word into that paraphrase of the Bible, he says in verse 26, he says, so God words without God actions are dead. So we can say all the God words we want to, but if we don't have godly actions following them, they don't amount to anything. And so if you don't want dead faith, and I don't think any of us in here want to say our faith is dead, then we have to understand the context is that if you don't follow up with the right corresponding actions, that's what it is. But it doesn't have to be that way. And so, again, he doesn't say that faith without corresponding feelings is dead. He doesn't say that faith without an emotional rush is dead. He says that faith without works is dead, without actions are dead, without corresponding actions is dead. So if you want to ignite today your faith, if you want it to come alive, if you want to live as a person of faith in that faith, then you have to back it up with what you do. It has to be backed up with what you do, or it will never happen. Period. It's dead. And since we don't want dead faith, we better figure out how we put corresponding actions into play. Because there is no other way to get there. It doesn't matter how worked up in worship we could get and how we feel so giddy in our hearts. If you walk out without living with corresponding actions, all of it is dead as a doornail. And we don't like to hear that because we like the feelings, we like the emotional rush. What we don't enjoy so much are the corresponding actions. But that's where faith resides. That's what God wants us to have. That's what James, the half-brother of Jesus, was telling us. He said, this is what you have to do. So today we're going to talk about three ways that you can begin to put your faith into action. Three ways to put your faith into action. When you walk out of here, even before you walk out of here, you can already begin to do that. And then you have to live that way. The first action is to take action consistent with what you're asking for. If I'm going to ask God to do something, if I want him to do something for me, if I have a need or a want, but I want him to act in a way that is going to help me or help somebody else, then I have to begin to ask for that. So I have to take action consistent with what I am asking. So are the things that I'm going to do going to be consistent with where I want to be? I read a story a while back about a man who was facing some very serious health issues. And this happened to be this is a true story. And he had such health issues to the point that his life was at risk. And he'd been to the doctor and talked to his family, and he and his family and his friends and the entire church were praying that God would miraculously intervene and heal him. And we do that all the time, don't we? We pray for people. We pray for God to intervene and to heal them. And one reason that he was sick, his doctors told him, and he had a number of bad lifestyle habits that weren't conducive to good health. And in fact, he was sedentary, he was very overweight, and he lived on pork and refined sugar. I mean, that was his whole diet. And when the doctor told him he had to clean it up, his act, he resisted, and his family got on him, and they said, Dad, doctor says you're going to die if you don't change, if you don't start doing what you need to do and taking better care of yourself. You got to get rid of some of these bad habits. You got to start eating right. Not like any of us have ever heard that from a doctor, right? Or from our family. And like most men, he said, yeah, I got this handled. I'll be okay. He said, if God gets me through this, I'll make a promise. He gets me through this, and I'll get serious about my health. That sound familiar? Sound familiar to any things that ever come across your lips? God, if you'll get me through this, then I'll do what I need to do. Then I'll be the person that you want me to be. I'll live the way that I need to live. And his daughter said, Dad, God won't heal you until you get serious about your health. And he said, like most guys and probably most women at this point, well, what's the use of giving up everything that I enjoy in life if I'm just going to die at the end anyway? Can I just enjoy where I'm at right now? And then if God heals me, then I will be the person I want. And with his words, this man was asking God for a miracle, but through his actions, he wasn't asking for anything at all. Because he wasn't willing to back up what he was asking for with the actions that he needed to take. So I'll tell you what this man decided to do. Against his best wishes, and because of the insistence of his children, he decided that he would start doing now what he would be doing later if his health got better. Nothing had changed in his body. He was still as unhealthy as could be. But he said, if I were healthy, how would I live? So I will do what I would be if I were healthy, even though nothing has happened. And no miracle has taken place. And for years, he'd been sleeping on his recliner with the TV blaring all night long. Not asking you to raise your hand, but. And so he said, that's not consistent with what I'm asking God to do. If I were healthy, that's not what I would be doing. What would I be doing? I'd be going to bed at a decent time and turning the television off. And that's what he began to do. He began to sleep in his bed. He started living today as he would be living if he had his health back. You know what happened? He began to feel better. He began to feel healthier. Healthier than he'd felt in years. His turnaround was too dramatic after a while to be anything less than a miracle, and he wasn't able to do it on his own. He was still relying on the power of God to heal and take care of the problem. But his corresponding actions increased the power of his faith. He said, the corresponding action, if you were to heal me, would be to be sleeping in bed and watching my diet. If there are things that you're believing God to accomplish in your life, you need to ask yourself this question. You can ask that right now where you're sitting. And you can even write it down before God if you want to. Which actions would I take that are consistent with what I'm asking God to do? I've been asking, I've been hoping, I've been praying about it, but what actions would I do if God were to do that miracle? Is this how I would still live, or would there be a difference in how I would live? And so faith without saying, God, I'm going to make any changes, is dead. But faith that has corresponding actions is not dead. So ask yourself what it is that I would do. Because we have this tendency to say that when and if God solves this problem, I'll be serious about doing right. Or when and if God heals my marriage, I'll be a better husband or I'll be a better wife. Or when and if God gives me a better paying job, I'll be a harder working employee. Or when and if God resolves my financial problems, I'll start giving more generously. Or when and if God heals my body, I'll start taking better care of myself. You need to understand that there will never be a win until you start taking consistent actions. The win is really up to you. And you put it into play by saying, this is how I would live if I had that miracle. This is what I would be doing if God were to perform that miracle in my life. And the first key to igniting your faith is to take actions that are consistent with what you are trusting God to do. The second action is to take action even when you aren't sure of the end result. Even when I don't know for sure what God's going to do, or if he's going to do it at all, I still take that action. I take that corresponding action for what I'm asking, even though I have no idea what the end result will be. This man started taking steps to improve his health, even though he wasn't sure it'd get better. And frankly, there was a very good chance he would never get better. He was going to die because of the condition that he had put himself in. But he decided that he would give up pizza and he would start taking better care of himself without any guarantees. You realize that very few things in life come with a real guarantee. Things that matter. We're not guaranteed a whole lot. We would like to be, but God doesn't do that for us. And one of the ways we express faith is to take action, even when we don't have certainty about how things will turn out. For an unsaved person, they say, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Why would I do that? Unfortunately, for a lot of Christians, they have this same idea. Why would I do something so stupid sounding as that? Why would I take those actions even though I don't know what God is going to do? If he'd send me a note or a letter first, if he would have an angel chorus sing to me one night, then I'd know what to do and I would do it. But he doesn't do that because he's not asking you to feel good about it. First, he says, just take action. And so you take action, you express your faith in that action. There's a story that happened a few years ago. A youth pastor was taking his youth group on a long bus trip. And in this case, they're going on a camping trip up in British Columbia. And there was one teenage girl in the youth group, who said, I can't go. She said, I can't. She said, every time I take a long trip in a car, or any kind of, even flying, just traveling, she said, I get an excruciating migraine headache. And it takes 3 to 4 days to go away. She said, I can't make it go away. It just debilitates me for those 3 or 4 days till it runs its course. So I can't go because I can't deal with the trip that long. But her friends in the youth group just kept asking her to go. Just come. Just trust God. But come. We want you to be there. And so she said, okay, I'll go. They got in the bus. They got about halfway to where they were going to go. And sure enough, the migraine headache came. There was no medicine for it that was going to make it go away. She knew that. The youth group knew that. The youth pastor knew that. Normally, it had a 3 to 4 day run now. But the youth pastor did something different. He stopped the bus. They gathered around this girl, and they began to pray. They began to pray that God would take that migraine headache away so that she didn't have to suffer for this period of time. Then they got back in the bus, continued to drive. She was laying down on a seat by herself, still with that headache. But about 30 minutes later, she opened her eyes. The headache was gone. They got through the trip, came back, headache never came back. Headache never came back again. And for years now, she has lived without migraine headaches. What happened? God chose to heal in a miraculous way the migraine headaches that she had. But what had she done? She had said, I'm going to take actions consistent with what I would do if I were already healed. If she were already healed, she would not be sitting at home, sad because all the youth group went without her. The action consistent with what she wanted was to be on the bus, not knowing for sure what would happen, and saying, God, if I have to deal with the headache, I'll do that, but I'm still praying that you will heal me. And so she took that action that was consistent, trusting God, even though she wasn't sure what would happen at that point in her life. But God did what only God can do. There's a movie out of a true story, and many of you maybe have seen it, but I encourage you, if you haven't, be a good Sunday afternoon thing to watch. It is the movie I Still Believe. It's right now it's on Netflix. There's a whole lot of stuff on Netflix that you shouldn't even bother with if you've got Netflix. But just go under faith and feel-good stories and movies, and you'll find I Still Believe. It's the story of Jerry McCamp, the Christian singer, the artist, who, when he first met the lady who was going to become his wife, the things that they had to go through. And as they were getting to know each other, they were like 19 years old. And she had an illness that was going to lead to her death, she found out. And when he was doing a concert one night, he called everybody, he stopped singing, and he brought his wife, his fiance, if you will, up on stage, introduced her, and asked people just to pray for her, just to pray that God would heal her. There was no emotional thing. She didn't jump up and down. She went back and sat down, and the concert went on. It turns out God did heal her. And at 20 years old, they got married. And for a short period of time, she was healthy. And then she got sick again. And she passed away. And he said, but God, why would you do that? Why would you take my new bride away after you healed her? Why would it come back? And he had to understand that sometimes life just doesn't. It isn't always feel good. But God can do what he wants to do. And how would you live at the other side of it? And he had to make that choice. She had to make that choice. She said, God, if you heal me or don't heal me, this is how I will live. I will live at what I'm asking you to do. And she continued to do that until she passed away. He had to come to that point where he said, God, I have to be consistent with what I'm asking you. Even though when I don't have assurances, I'm going to now continue to live as I would if you had performed another miracle. By the way, if you find that movie, watch it again. If you don't want to watch it again, one probably right around it is The Forge. If you haven't watched that, I would encourage you to watch that one as well. So you got two Sunday afternoons taken care of now, thanks to Netflix. Probably never hear that out of my mouth again. If you want to know what God is doing in your life, you've got to act in ways that are consistent with what you're asking God to do in your life. And then thirdly, you need to take action even when you don't feel like it. That's what Jeremy Camp had to do. God, I don't know that I really feel like this. I don't feel so good. I am really, really missing my bride. But if we're going to do what God's telling us to do, then we've got to be willing to do even what we don't feel like doing. Faith is a thing where we say, God, I'm not sure what's going to happen, and I don't know that I really feel like asking you, but I'll tell you what I believe God's telling us to do. I believe God is pleased with all the steps of faith that we take. No matter how small or how big they are, I think he is pleased with all of them. But there are steps that we take when we face uncertainty and fear that earn us a little extra mileage, if you will. Because it's easy to say, okay, God, I'm going to have faith in you and I'm going to act according to how I'm asking you. And I'm going to live according to how I'm asking you if you were to answer. Even though I don't know what you're going to do and even though I don't feel like it. But there are those times when we're faced with the cataclysmic, when we're faced with even our own sinful nature battling against us in a terrible way, when we take those actions and God says that really pleases him. And they earn you a lot of extra mileage, if you will. I think he's especially pleased when we choose faith and not feelings. He's pleased when we choose what's right rather than what's merely convenient. Because faith is not something we feel, it's something we decide. It's something you do even if you don't feel like it. If you want to see God's doing great works and things in your life, I encourage you to decide to adopt an attitude of expectation. Expectation in God's goodness, expectation in his mercy, expectation in his willingness and his power to pour down blessings in your life. And you decide now that this is what you will expect and this is what you will do. You will trust in God to bring those things about in your life. And then you begin to do things that are consistent with what you're asking. You make decisions as if God has already healed you and blessed you and changed your marriage and on you continue to follow that path of those decisions even when the outcome isn't certain, even when the road gets really bumpy and hard. You just keep on with that tenacity that says, I'm going to trust God. Faith is not something you feel, it's something you do when you have and you don't have to worry about whether your feelings are strong or weak or sure or unsure. Your faith isn't based on feelings, it's always based on actions. And faith is something you decide and something you do. James 2:17, again, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. This morning, there may be someone in this room who has a faith act that they need to act on. I think the biggest area of faith that we're ever challenged with is the decision to trust Jesus to be our Savior and Lord. Everything Satan has to throw against us, he throws it. Every obstacle he places in our way. The last thing Satan wants is for you to know Jesus is your Savior and Lord. And so Jesus comes into our world, and as we saw at the beginning of the worship service, laid outside all of the greatness and the honor and the glory and the power of being God, and took upon himself the form of a human being like us, and lived for 33 years in our world, and then went to the cross and paid the price for our sins with that terrible execution and the pain and the suffering and the blood flowing, covering our sin, paying the price. And yet our world says, don't worry about that stuff. If you just feel like you're going to go to heaven, you will. If you just think you should go to heaven, you will. If you just try to be good by the world's standards, you'll go to heaven. Show up in church once in a while, watch it online, and you'll go to heaven. And that's a bald-faced lie, all of it. You can do all of those things and you will be in hell for eternity. Because it leaves out faith. This morning, you may be good at playing church, but you've never come to that point where you said, God, not based on my feelings, but on the actions, I want to come to you. What's the action? The action is not church membership. The action is not baptism. The action is not writing a check and giving it the offering plate. The action is not being able to put Christian in front of your name. The action is not having parents that were Christians or grandparents that were Christians. The action, without really understanding how it's going to happen or if it could possibly happen, is to say, Jesus Christ, at this moment, I am going to lay all of this down, and I am going to put my trust only in you. Nothing else. None of the stuff I'd been thinking would get me there, that I've been feeling would get me there. But what your word says is true. And without that step, without that corresponding action of saying, this is what your word says, therefore, this is what I will do. I will give you my heart. I will lay it down before you. And the only guarantee that I have is just that you said that whoever calls upon my name will be saved. So the only corresponding action I have is to call in your name. And today, if you've never done that, whether you're in this room or whether you're online, I want to challenge you to do that. Because without that, everything is dead. It never comes to life. The life you live here in this world will mean absolutely nothing. It is a dead life without that faith that says, Jesus, I'm going to trust you and you alone to be my Savior. And if you've not done that, but you want to do that right now, I'm going to ask you to pray with me this simple prayer. Let's pray together. You need to pray, Heavenly Father, as I come before you right now, I'm not coming with feelings. I'm not coming just with emotions. I'm not coming with giddiness. I'm coming to you simply as an act corresponding with where I want to be. I want to be in heaven with you one day. I want to have a relationship with you here on earth today. And the only corresponding action that I can take is to say, Jesus, would you forgive my sin? Would you wash me whiter than snow? Would you give me eternal life? Would you be my Lord and Savior? I want to thank you that that is the guarantee that we have in life. All the other ones may or may not be real, but this one is real. That guarantee of our salvation. Thank you that you just now made that guarantee a reality in people's lives as they prayed that prayer. Father, we pray that as we make decisions right now, maybe we know Christ is our Savior and Lord, but there are things we've been asking for and things we really want, and they're going to take a miracle. Would you help us to get out of that feeling mindset and get into a corresponding action mindset? To say, no matter what, without any knowing of what's going to happen, and maybe having to live with some tough consequences along the way, I am still going to put my faith, accompanied by corresponding actions. I'm going to make my God words be backed up with God actions in my life. Father, would you give us that faith? Would you give us that belief? Would you give us that courage, that tenacity to do that? For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. If God's speaking to you right now, I'm going to encourage you to come. If you're online, would you get in touch with us if you just made a decision or if you're making a decision right now? Because we want to talk with you as well. And so as we sing, won't you come?
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.